Bible, you'd like to turn with me. I'm reading tonight from the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. Amen. Let me start reading with about the 6th verse of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll begin reading tonight with about the 6th verse of Scripture. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. A man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen thee. Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. For a few minutes of time tonight, the Lord willing, I'd like to talk to you about standing when the king comes. Standing when the king comes. Praise the Lord. I'd like to preach to you right out of my heart tonight. Amen. The last few years, we have spent so many occasions preaching out from our church in Jacksonville, preaching in deeper life conferences, preaching in meetings to challenge the church and the ministry, preaching even in youth conferences when we have specifically been asked to challenge the youth for involvement, outreach, revival, and believe in God for greater, greater things to happen. We drift tonight from one program to another, because sometimes the work of God becomes a program, and that's all it is to us, is a program. I hope I can minister to you tonight in a manner that would be complementary to the occasion. I have a hard time sometimes separating the occasions when we need a move of God so very, very desperately among us, and we need to see the results of the shed blood of Calvary's sacrificial lamb as it has been sprinkled upon our souls. We are in the bicentennial this year. And we're 2 millenniums from Calvary. And on every hand there is a great big question mark in hearts. Which direction should we go? What should we do? There seems to be very, very little direction. Many people have been preached to for 20, 30 years on Pentecostal benches and have never won one soul to Jesus Christ, have never become a soul winner in the kingdom of Almighty God. We have lived in a shell many times thinking everyone hates us, and we've almost come to the place we glory in the fact that we are hated of all men for His name's sake. Yet the Bible said that we were supposed to have favor. For the Bible said a bishop has good report to them that are within and to them that are without. We do not have a franchise on God tonight. The truth of the matter is, we're not careful, there can be a revival in our world, and we will never even know it's taken place. If we are not in tune with the pulse beat and the heartbeat of God. Did you know in Houston, Texas tonight, every week that rolls around, there are an average estimated 1,700 souls that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that not in a Pentecostal church. Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, there are an average of 1,500 souls a week receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that not in apostolic churches. My city of Jacksonville, there is an estimated 400 people a week receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that not being in the apostolic church of the living God. What's happening? God is pouring out His Spirit in the end time upon all flesh.
Amen.
I believe men and women from every strata, every walk of life are responding to the truth of the Word of God. They are in dire, desperate search of what God can do for them. I am so desperately asking God to change me tonight. Change me as a man. Change me as a mortal being. Change me as a human. Change me as a preacher. Change me as a saint of God. Amen. I'm not talking about changing Acts 2:38 and changing a standard and a life of holiness. You can't change truth. The truth of God's Word has been forever settled in heaven. There is no changing that. But, oh God, restore apostolic purpose in my heart and in my life, that I would know what would be the direction of the Holy Ghost in this barrel, bramble, and scale moment that is gripping so many hearts and so many areas. Worship the Lord. Help me preach tonight. I want to preach by the will of God, standing till the King comes. Would you lift your hearts and ask God to help us preach that tonight, which will do something to our hearts. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. In your name, in your name, in your name, in your name, Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated just now. I realize that I stand tonight to be misunderstood. I am quite straightforward in my preaching. I am extremely controversial, but at times and many occasions I am misunderstood. But I do want you to understand me tonight. I want to preach with love. I want to preach with mercy. I want to preach with what I feel from the Word of God tonight. I do not believe that we have missed God. I do not believe that we have missed God. I believe the message that we are declaring is the only message there is to be declared in all the world for the souls of men. I do believe we have missed the purpose of God. Amen. Sometimes a denominational world that will accept Acts 2:38, we are a little bit reluctant to accept what's happening among them because we live in a cloistered attitude. And we will not accept the fact that God can move outside of our ranks. He can move outside of our little movement. He can move anywhere He wants, because the Spirit is as the wind. It bloweth where it listeth. All God is looking for is just a hungry heart, a hungry soul, anybody that will respond to the truth of the Word of Almighty God. If we are not careful, sometimes we're even skeptical as to what is happening among each other. A church across the town has a 50 soul revival, and you know what the first thing we usually say is? They're busting in a bunch of blacks. Well, I see them will have a time tonight. Amen. If we don't muster up the courage to say that, we say, wonder how many wheelbarrows loads of candy they gave away. You know what the truth of the matter is? We really wonder if 50 got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if we actually think they may, we automatically say, wonder how many's going to last. Wonder how many will stick. Reckon how many really got it. If we're not careful, church, we are breeding doubt into our churches. We are breeding doubt into our fellowship. That's why many times we have altars filled with chronic seekers that go month in and month out, year in and year out, and never do get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, if it's hard to build God's church in this world, it's because we fail to realize God said He would build His church. Hallelujah. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I'd just as soon see somebody pray through in your church as to see them pray through in mine. Because the truth of the matter, I don't have a church. That little flock that I minister to is just a part of God's church. Amen. It's just a part of
God. And I believe that God's going to meet its hunger, either with us or without us. God is going to meet the hunger of our world for truth in its heart. If we are not careful, we can become so fat upon the things that we're receiving in church, friend of mine, that we won't ever do anything whatsoever with it. Oh, God, we need more than fasting and prayer to keep us lean in our bodies. We need to exercise what God has given us in the Word and in the Spirit so that we can shake the hearts of men with the realization that you can have God in your life. Oh, God. I think of that early church and the work that it did for God and the way God moved with a powerful avalanche of a Holy Ghost revival. And I'm brought face to face with the fact that we ought to be seeing one of the greatest moves of God in our world tonight that we have ever seen. There are more of us. We are stronger in numerical strength than we have ever been. And if God can ever energize us with the cause of apostolic purpose and power and vision, I believe there will be some things accomplished in our generation such as no generation has ever seen the lack of in all the history of the church. Oh, God. There is a clock coming to say, and I want to be respectful to the small and to the large in number tonight, but there is a common cliche among us. We've got our 50, and we're happy, and we're content. Somebody said to me recently, Brother Corin, we can't grow. Our people all work. I said, my, I guess your folks are the only ones in the world that work. They came back with another little retort. You know, it's dangerous for the women to get out on the streets. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, what else is new? They said, well, everybody in town knows who our church is. And if they want to come, they'll come, bless God. If I had good sense, I'd have gone on and left the situation alone. But I guess I didn't have good enough sense to leave it alone. Oh, friend, let me tell you something tonight. There ought to be an explosive faith in our heart, an explosive vision in our heart, an explosive purpose in our souls tonight that will not let us be satisfied with any number, whether it's 30, 50, 500, 5,000, or whatever. There ought to be something in us that says, I want to grow, I want to grow. Hallelujah. I might as well be honest with you. I have been openly vilified for the size church that we run so many times until I'm as hard as one of those posts. It's like water off of a duck's back, friend. There won't can anything else be said that will affect me. I finally decided to join the Apostle Paul, crucify myself daily, and just see what God would do with a handful of apostolics that would say the world just a field. And there's millions of souls to be harvested in the kingdom of Almighty God. Hallelujah. 6 years ago, when I had 51 in Sunday school, I was the most wretched, miserable piece of humanity that's ever walked in a pulpit. I am seething 24 hours a day to see God do something and to see the book of Acts happening in my heart, happening in my ministry, happening in my church, happening in the church of the living God. When it got to the 80s, I was miserable. When it got to 120, I was miserable. When it got to 200, I was miserable. When it got to 300, I was miserable. When it got to 400, I was miserable. When it got to 500, I was miserable. And we're reaching for 600 tonight, and I am still the most miserable preacher that you've ever laid your eyes upon. There's too many souls that do not know God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I want you to know Israel did the same thing. Saul was humble when he was first anointed. He was hidden among the stuff, a head and shoulders taller than everybody in the camp. And there he was hidden among the stuff because he was so humble in his attitude, in his nature, in his personality. When they anointed him to become king of Israel, it was a great thing that God did, but they had to find him among the stuff. Humble in his beginning. Oh, when I think of the early days of Pentecost, I wasn't there. I have to relate it to you as I read it, and as I've heard of it, and as I felt the pulse beat of men of God like Brother Boga. The early days of Pentecost, our church was humble in its beginning. It began with simplicity. It began with utter trust. It began with utter confidence. Those pioneers in a bird song, they heard the voice of prophecy. And in the rumble of the streetcar wheels, they heard a message and they understood it in English. But oh, friends, somewhere those simple beginnings began to slip away from us, and we said we've got to add something to it. But I want you to know we didn't need to add intelligence. We didn't need to add intelligence. All we needed to add was purpose and meaning. Oh, friend, the purpose of God was all that needed to be brought and kept into the program. I'm for one and voting tonight. Don't ever silence the voice of our old timers when they begin to talk about the good old days. We don't need to erase that. We don't need to silence that. We don't ever need to do all of that. You said, but Brother Colin, this is a greater day. It ought to be this more of us. I want you to stay with me, my Lord. I never felt so much anointing in my born days. Brother, God spoke to Samuel. Why do you continue weeping for Saul, seeing that I have refused him? And it was hard for Samuel to forget the strength of Saul. It was hard for Samuel to forget that young man that used to be, that stood so strong and so tall and so solid by the name of Almighty God. Come on, Samuel. Go sit down. We'll call the boys up from the field. We'll bring them by you one by one. Go somewhere and sit down. You're old now. You're weak now. It's been a long time since you were a boy in the temple. It's been a long time since you were asleep in the temple. And you heard a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. Been a long time since that night when you heard it the third time, that you rose upon your knees and said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Who told you you were a servant? Who told you that your place was to be a servant unto God? Then Samuel named himself to God. I'm telling you tonight, I want to name myself to God. I want to be a servant to God. I want to be a worker for God. I want to be a servant in the hands of Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Samuel staggered to Jesse's house. God's going to do a new thing today. God's going to move upon a new man today. God's going to anoint a new king today. There's going to be a new anointing today. God's going to use a new individual today. We are so accustomed to thinking that the only way God moves is to move upon the masses that we fail to remember that the only way God has ever really moved is as he could find individual men, individual women, individual young people that would say, speak low, back further, hear up. Oh, God. I want you to know God doesn't move on churches. God doesn't move on organizations. God moves on men. God put Jesus in particular men. If you put enough of those men together and call it a church, that's good. If you put enough of those churches together and call it an organization, that's good. But it begins with one man. One man. One man. One man. One man. One man. I perceive that I'm preaching to some here tonight. You're sitting back and you're waiting for God to move upon your church. I'm here to tell you it'll never happen. I'll tell you when God will move upon that church. When He can move upon you as an individual. And when He can move upon enough individuals, and those individuals will get together and consecrate and dedicate themselves to the cause of God and believe God for an all-out move of the Holy Ghost, then you'll see a church turned upside down, inside out, with revival fervor and a hunger for lost and dying hearts. Oh, God, this is 1976. Have you ever thought about it? 1976. Seven is God's number of perfection, and six is God's number for man's day. I wonder if this is the year that God is trying to get Himself and man together. Oh, wouldn't it be a miracle if before this year is out, if God Parish is coming, that God and every church represented here would get together and we would sell ourselves out to the saving of lost and dying hearts. They're taking the Liberty Bell down. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, out of Independence Hall. They have built a 6-story brick tower. And they're putting that bell in that brick tower this year to again let it in symbolical manner ring the freedom of over this country once again. Oh, I would to God that we could take the Liberty Bell of Calvary out of the Word of God and put it into our hearts tonight and let it ring in the belfry of our soul and let freedom's chimes be monitored all over the city where we live, that Jesus Christ saves, that He keeps, that He satisfies, and revival belongs unto the church of the living God. Oh, God. Samuel said to Jesse, Jesse responded, "Say, Jesse, how are things going?" He sat in his old rocking chair on the front porch, rocking back and forth. Well, he said, "Every now and then, said I have a little thought." Sometimes that's our problem. We're having so many little thoughts. We can't let the Holy Ghost break through and give us some dreams and visions of some big things. Amen. "How's the attendance going, Jesse?" "Well, it's about the same as it was last year. And the year before. And the year before." "Well, what seems to be the problem, Jesse?" "Well, we've had a lot of sickness." I'm afraid sometimes we have more sickness than what we know. We have more sickness than what we would acknowledge. Oh, hear me tonight. If you don't love this little old 5-foot-10-inch preacher, I want you to love Jesus Christ when I leave here tonight or tomorrow night. It's not important that you love me. All I am is just a little old palmy for the vodka that the wind is trying to blow against. It's not important that you love me, but I want you to love the God that I'm preaching about tonight. By the help and the grace of God, when I go home Saturday, I've got a beautiful flock of sheep in Jacksonville that love me." Amen. See, the problem is, I'm only here for 5 nights. I'm in and I'm out and I'm gone. And I get to stay there week after week after week, and they learn a little bit more about me. I think that's good, isn't it? I hope that's good anyway. Praise God. Jesse said to Samuel, "Come on, Samuel, sit down. Find your chair and sit down with me here. I got 2 rocking chairs." Samuel said, "No, I can't do it. Bring those balls. Bring them back."
They began to bring those sons back. They began to measure the biceps and count their teeth like a horse's mouth. They began to look at their muscles. Samuel said, none of these is the one. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Oh, well, then holiness doesn't matter, Brother Cohen. Oh, listen, it matters all the more. You see, that means man's looking on the outside and God's looking on the inside. We're being seen from both sides tonight. If ever we needed our heart clean, our spirit clean, our outside clean, everything clean, we need to be clean by the word and the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Sit down, Jesse. It's going to take 30 minutes to get that boy up from the field. No, I can't sit down. It's the end of a dynasty. It's the end of an era. Somebody said, oh, you fellas missed it in the revival outreach, didn't you? Problem came up. Issues came up. You missed it, didn't you? It pushed it out. Looks like the entire revival's come to a screeching halt. Come on now. Come on now. The end time revival wasn't born of a few of us that have dared to stick our head out and let you chop our necks off. The end time revival wasn't born in that room where I sat for the whole missions department and planned the promotion of end time revival that three of our districts wouldn't even let us in the state to promote. Oh, God. Oh, God, if you'll just keep saying amen, honey, I will. Amen. That's not where the entire revival was born. It was born in the heart of God. It was born in the program of God. It was born in the word of God. It was born in the church of Jesus Christ. I tell you, it'll take more than an issue to kiss. It'll take more than the vision of thought to kiss. It'll take more than the lack of your support of mind to kiss. Brother, God said somewhere it's going to have a move of the Holy Ghost and outpour of the power of Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. They called me long distance yesterday morning. Come to one of our largest districts to preach a prayer and Bible conference. 3 nights and 2 days. They asked me to speak 5 services. And I gripped the phone in my hand. I told Brother Clayton about it yesterday afternoon. The phone in my hand, I reminded the official speaking to me what I believed. And what I preach from the Word of God and refuse to change for anybody. I said, I don't mind coming, but I just don't want to create problems. And I don't want to put your meeting under tension. And if they don't want to move with God, please don't ask me to come and be crucified again. The man rose up, never to quiver, never to tremble in his voice. When he said, Brother Cohen, he said, we need revival in this area. We need a move of God in this area. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come and preach to us the Word of God. Challenge your hearts that we can believe the promises of God. They are yea and amen. Oh, God. Israel, you're losing a king now. I want you to know God's in a spirit to torment Saul. God hates pride. God hates self-centeredness so much that he sent a spirit to torment that man. Samuel had a right to sit down. He was elderly. He was aged. He was tired. Arthritis gripped him. It had been many miles. He had a right to sit down. Oh, I'm telling you, we need some men tonight. We need some mighty men among us tonight that will rise up, that will refuse to sit down. Though you may have a right to sit down, though you may be aged enough to sit down, you may be weary enough to sit down. We need some men that will rise up and say, I'm going to stand. 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 God, we need some direction so badly tonight.
Oh, God. But I'm telling you, the major operation God's going to have to perform upon us. If men rise up to give us direction, before they can get off of their seat, we've got our cannons aimed for their skull. We've got our bazookas aimed for their skull. We've got our rifles aimed for their skull. And we start crying out, be careful, be careful, be careful. That's why we've got altars filled with stammering lips and no tongue. That's why we've got hours and hours of preaching and no soul in them. That book said, be careful for nothing. Come on now, do we believe it or don't we? That book said, be careful for nothing. Get yourself a firm grip upon the power of God's word, upon the truth of God's word. Get yourself a firm grip upon the direction of the Holy Ghost, and let's move out for the glory of God. Let somebody do something. Let somebody grow a little bit. Let somebody progress a little bit. And the first thing we want to do is cut their head off. We'll find something wrong with them. Why do we always want to kill? Why do we always want to stab in the back? Why do we always want to cut men's throats? Why do we always want to decapitate men? Why do we always want to kill? Why can't we make a lie? Oh, God. I'm going to tell you, church, we are becoming spiritual cannibals. We are becoming spiritual cannibals. Since I didn't put it together, since I didn't dream it up, since I'm not the innovator of it, since I have not concocted the idea, then I didn't do it, so I'm not going to adhere to anybody else that has. And so we're sitting down eating one another's lunch. I'll rub the sandwich out of your bucket. I'll rub your dessert. I'll rub your appetizer. I'll rub your dessert. And we're busy tonight, but it's not busy working for God. We're busy eating each other's lunch bucket up. That old preacher Samuel, I'm telling you, he said God's going to do something different today. God's going to do a new thing today. God's taken the kingdom from the hands of a warrior and is going to put it into the hands of a shepherd boy. God's going to do a new thing. That's a new man. That's a new era. That's a new family. That's a new dynasty. And God's going to do a new thing. Friend, we can be sidelined to work tonight while the whole world receives the truth of the Word of God if we're not careful. I'm telling you, I don't intend to be sidelined. I don't intend to be sidelined. The Bible said that the latter rain would be greater than the former rain, and the latter house would be greater than the former house. I believe God wants to do something in this church of the end time in a greater measure than He's ever done it before in the history of all the world. Last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. How many believe that's the word of God? Hallelujah. Then the question is not if. Then the question is not if. But the question is how and on whom. Hallelujah. I'm afraid revival is already here. I'm afraid revival is already here. But some of us just won't get with it. Oh, we accept the doctrinal truths, but we've never accepted any more. I want you to know the spirit of those apostles. Jesus said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Sometimes we got it reversed. We go out as wolves among the sheep. Oh, yes. You better obey Acts 2:38 or you're going to go to hell. I've got the truth for the corn. Yes, you have, but what did you do with it? Hallelujah. some of y'all even fake smile. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He wasn't the lion slain. He wasn't the bear slain. He wasn't the rhinoceros slain. He wasn't the elephant slain. He wasn't the wolf slain. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And it sent us out as lambs. Oh God, give us a spirit of love. Give us a spirit of kindness. Give us a spirit of compassion. Give us a spirit of concern that will tell our world, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm going to tell you a little secret about soul winning. People will love you before they'll ever love your God. And if they don't love you first, they'll never love your God. They don't have confidence in you, they'll never have confidence in your God. They don't trust you, they'll never trust your God. You will win them to yourself in confidence and love before you will ever win them to your God. Sit down, Samuel! Oh, you don't understand, Jesse. I can't. Something's about to happen. Brother Boger told us that beautiful story the other day about the little boy who went on to sat out. But he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Some of us are sitting down and standing up at the same time. We need to make up our minds whether we believe in revival or not, whether we're going to have a move of God or not, whether we believe the promises of the Word of God or not. Hallelujah! 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 I know we've got problems, but friend, the church is on. Problems. God never had problems until he started to build a church out of people. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira didn't live in 1976. Amen. Demas didn't live in 1976. Ever since the birth of the church, in the hearts of men and women, there have been problems in the church. And revival, as it's been preached tonight, has nothing to do with problems that are among us. That is, unless it's just growing pains. Now, honey, if you're not ready for growing pains, you're not ready for revival. You're not ready for growing pains. You're not ready for a move of God. You're not ready for growing pains. You're not ready for God to double your church in 6 months. I'm telling you not what I have heard. I'm telling you what I know. The pastor stood in his office and he said, I appreciate the 2,000 doors you've knocked on. I appreciate the 2,000 handbills and tracts you've passed out. But he said, I want it stopped. Man, why do you want it stopped? He said, because I've got a good church. I've got a strong church. I've got a self-supporting church, and I've basically got a problem preacher. I don't want 50 new babies because I don't want all the problems that goes with that kind of a revival. I'm telling you what I know. I'll tell you something else I know. That's one meeting that was shut down right then and there. Brother, listen, we don't have time to minister for people that don't want God to fulfill the promises of His Word. I would as soon be out ministering in an Assembly of God, Church of God, or any other kind of church, and preach them what I believe in my heart, as to preach in a oneness apostolic church that will not accept the move of God, does not believe in winning souls for Jesus, and does not see the, let us see, a harvest of lost and dying hearts in the church of the living God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If we are not careful, we're going to sit around and eat and drink spiritually in the kingdom of God. We're going to get so fat that spiritual retardation will set in upon us, and we'll go back instead of forward with the promises of God. Oh, yes. You love the Word? The word will produce something in you. The word will produce something in you. And if the word is not producing anything in our walk with God, then somehow we have misconstrued the promises of the word of Almighty God.
I'm going to tell you what I believe. And I know 90% of you are going to say, I'll be glad when he goes back to Jacksonville. I think you'll go just to hell just as fast for not being a soul winner as you will for going to theaters. Hallelujah. We'll let some old... Let me say it sweetly. I was going to say reprobate. I won't say that. That's a bad word, isn't it? We'll let somebody hadn't paid their tithes in the last month or two or three. We'll let them go on and on in the church. Finally, we'll set them down for a year. Because they don't pay tithes. But did you know we'll keep people in the choir and in the orchestra and teaching Sunday school and every other office in the church for now on 20 years that have never won one soul to Jesus Christ? I wonder why that is. Oh, God, it sure is quiet. Amen. Amen. We'll criticize the Baptists. We'll criticize their method. We'll criticize their program. We'll criticize everything they do and half of what they don't do. And they're putting 90% of the populace in their building while we're out here waiting on the 10%. We're shouting over our doctrine while we have no souls and no corn in the crib. We're shouting over our message while the corn bins are just as empty and void of souls as they can be. I'm telling you, we need an operation of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Our doctrine is all right. The truth is all right. The message is all right. We just need some apostolic purpose to be restored in our hearts. Oh, God. I'm afraid. The California district begged me to write an article, and I was too timid, modest, bashful. Don't sound like I am, but I really am. I just really felt unqualified. They wanted me to write an article on the word lazy for their district paper. I'm convinced it's one of the dirtiest letters, four-letter words in all the world. L-A-Z-Y. And I'm afraid many times it's reeking among us from wall to wall, from top to bottom, from side to side. We are reeking with laziness. Somebody said the reason so many times there's so many icebergs in the pews, there's so many polar bears in the pulpits. Oh, God. I'm a preacher. I messed around metal too long. Oh, let me tell you, we need to work for God. Somebody said, I've had the Holy Ghost for 40 years. I've got it. I've got it. No, honey, you had it. And when you get a church full of people that have had it, the whole church has had it. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, if God will just raise up one young man tonight, and one young woman tonight, and one young adult tonight, and one preacher tonight, and one saint tonight, if God would just move upon the ones and the ones and the ones and stir our heart tonight, we'll go home and we'll have a revival. Sinners walk in and we automatically want to know how long it's to hell. Oh, God. Somebody preached. Nobody walked in my church with pantsuit on. We want to reclothe everybody. We want to scale every fish in the lake before we ever get them in the boat. Honey, I'm going to tell you what's the truth. No matter what we wish or what we want or what we believe, you got to hook them and you got to catch them before you can scale them and dress them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, holiness more than looking like a Pentecostal. Holiness is more than dressing like a Pentecostal. Holiness is having a spirit in your heart that makes a new creature out of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm going to go stay with me for a few minutes longer. I want you to know God killed Saul because of his filthy and hideous spirit. It's why. His self-centeredness, and God killed him. There was David committed one of the most horrible sins in the pages of humanity, a sin of the flesh. And God spared him and gave him a Messiah for a son. You know why? Because he got his spirit and his heart right with God. I'll tell you where we're living tonight. As long as our flesh is okay,
As long as we're not outshone in the flying tents of fleshly sin, you can have any kind of spirit you want, sit in our tents and live in our churches, and you're A-okay.
Criticize the ministry, talk about saints. Amen. We can gossip till our tongues will lick a light bulb as far as from here to the back of the building.
Yeah. And we are eaten up with it. We are eaten up with it. Oh, God. And not a one that'll criticize the ministry and talk about saints and gossip with such loose tongues will ever volunteer to come around and say, I'd like to do the maintenance in the church bus. I'd like to sweep the church floors. I'd like to clean the bathrooms. Pastor, can I mow the lawn? I'd like to do some of the work of God.
Oh, God.
What do we need tonight? I'm telling you, we need a revival of repentance. We need a revival of the love of God that will change our hearts.
Samuel had the right to sit down. He had arthritis. He had old age. He had nothing big.
He had everything. Oh, he had it all. He had a right to sit down. But he said, I'm going to stand up till the king comes. Friend, you can sit down if you want to tonight. You can be unhappy with everything and everybody if you want to tonight. But I've made up my mind, Brother Clayton. I'm going to stand up until the king comes. Oh, God. I can't sleep at night. I hear the cries from Macedonia. I can't eat at noontime. I hear the cries of Macedonia. And something tells me don't eat, don't sleep, don't rest, don't sit down. The king's not here yet.
I think I know what kind of preaching is expected of a man in camps and youth camps. After all, I've preached 60-some-odd camps in the last 16 and a half years. I know I could preach to you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. I knew I could preach the oneness of the Godhead. I am Alpha, the Omega, the beginning of the end, which is, which was, the which is to come, the Almighty. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. I believe I could preach to you one God, and I know what would happen. Oh, you'd shout and rejoice. And man, that fellow preached our camp meeting, didn't he? But I wonder if that's really what we need to be hearing tonight. I wonder if we ought not to be hearing that Christ is in his church. God is in his church. Hallelujah. Amen. He was in the body of Christ. But now he's in his church. Oh, God. When he was in that body, he worked miracles.
when it was in that body, opened blinded eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He loosed dumb tongues. He touched with her hands. He healed lame legs. And when God's in the church, He'll still open blinded eyes. He'll still unstop deaf ears. He'll still loose dumb tongues. It'll happen through the church, through the church, through the church. I wonder if we ought not be preaching God's in the church. And wherever you go, that's where God goes. If you go to the grocery store, God goes. If you go to the gas station, God goes. If you go to the schoolhouse, God goes. If you go shopping, God goes. If you go for a ride, God goes. God goes in the church.
It's not the only place you can pray people through the Holy Ghost. It's not the only place that miracles can happen under this roof. They can happen wherever your faith is. They can happen wherever you thank God. They can happen wherever you stand upon the promises at the right of the Lord. They can happen wherever you go. If we could realize tonight that every member of the church has been baptized into Christ. Christ wasn't baptized into me. If He were, He would be limited to my hands and my eyes and my nose and my ears and my feet, and that's all. But I was baptized into Him. That means He is world, Paul said, without end. Hallelujah. John said that if all the books were written that should be written, the world should not contain the whole. You see, we don't work and go to church on the side. We don't go to school and just go to the house of God on the side. No, friend of mine, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. Amen. We don't live and get out of security and then just give to the church on the side. I want you to know if He is Lord of all, if He is Lord of all, then everything we do is centered around our concentration, our dedication, and our love for Jesus Christ. We're absolutely under the Lordship of Jesus. Our time belongs to Him. Our money belongs to Him. Our talents belong to Him. Our abilities belong to Him. Our energies belong to Him. Our strength belongs to Him. Everything we have belongs to Jesus Christ. One of my saints asked me the other day, said, Brother Corin, when are we going to rest around here? I said, just the other side of the rapture. There's no time to rest. There's no time to rest. We are called out of the world to do a job for God in the world. And we must be about our Father's business. I tell you, it's as important as Acts 2:38 to realize what we're supposed to be doing with this message tonight. It's as important as receiving it to do with it what God has commissioned the church to do. I'm telling you, I'm going to stand till He comes. I'm going to stand till He comes. I will not sit down. I am going to stand until He comes. Samuel said, I'm going to stand till who comes? Until David comes. David who? David who? Oh, David, that's still the giant. Not yet. Not yet. He's just a shepherd boy. I wonder tonight if we're really ready for revival. I wonder if we are really ready for revival tonight. Oh, listen, friend, God will not do it without somebody. But He will do it with somebody. Amen. Amen. Somebody, if we'll ever make up our mind, somebody, somebody, somebody. And that somebody can be you, that somebody can be me, that somebody can be us tonight. And if you have put enough of us together, call it a church, call it an organization, call it a movement, call it whatever you know, God will move through it. If there are enough of us that are sold out to God, that will believe Him by the promises of His word. Sit down, Moses. Out here in the middle of the wilderness, you've been marching around that mountain. Amen. It's time for you to do something different. You've been marching around that mountain too long. God doesn't use animals. God doesn't use machinery. God uses men. If I can convince some people of that tonight, I will leave this camp a thrilled and a happy man.
The history of the world has been shaped by men. It's been the John Paul Jones. It's been the Thomas Edison. It's been the George Washingtons. It's been the Abraham Lincolns. It's been the Apostle Pauls and the Apostle Peters in the church. And it'll be some men and women tonight who will say, I'm going to be used of God no matter what comes or what goes. Hallelujah. Oh, listen, God gave the law at the foot of the mountain and marched around and around and around. And God said, that's enough. You have marched long enough. I wonder if we have marched in the same old rut and in the same old path long enough. I wonder if God doesn't want us to launch out upon a new adventure with the Word of Almighty God.
Do something different, Nate, Moses. I'm going to stay with me for just a few minutes more. I'm going to wind this thing down. You want to talk about Jonathan for a few moments? I bet I'm going to talk about Jonathan for a few moments. We'll talk about Jonathan. Yes, sir. He was the heir to the throne. He was the one that should have followed Saul and sat upon the throne. He was the one that should have been the next king, but he lost that throne. God cut him out. God hated the sin of Saul so much that he caused every one of his sons to not sit upon the throne, and he bypassed them and went to David. Jonathan should have hated David's guts. Come on now, that's the way we do it. Oh yeah, if I can't sing under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and bring the power of God down, bless God, I'm not going to get behind old Sister Susie by that old windbag. Hallelujah.
Well, if I can't play that electric piano like that fellow from Columbia can,
bless God. You see the way he sits on that stool? If he played a thing, he could sit on a one-legged stool.
Listen to me, that preacher preaches. While sweats are running down his face,
honey, that ain't the only place they're running. They're running all over me.
Looks like a fella could be more dignified than that and get a pair of feet. Come on, I'm telling you the way we do it. Brother, if we can't be running the biggest number and we can't be going the fastest and we can't be praying people through, we can't be baptizing folks, then I'll step the guy in the back who's doing it.
Oh, God, we won't ever have a revival until we get our spirits right. I'm telling you, honey, we won't ever have a revival until we get our spirits right. Our preaching ought to motivate the church. It ought not to cut one another down. It ought to not slap each other in the face. It ought to motivate the church of the living God to have a revival that we never had before in the history of the church. The Bible said Jonathan stronger than lions. Jonathan swifter than eagles. Because of Saul's sin, he lost the throne. Because of Saul's sin, he lost the crown. Because of Saul's sin, he lost the dynasty. Because of Saul's sin, he lost the royal robe. Because of Saul's sin, he lost everything.
But I want you to know there was no bitterness in his heart. There was no rancor in his spirit. There was no acrimony in his soul. He picked up the sword and the shield, and he climbed the mountain, and he said, I'll fight for David. I'll fight for David. I can't sit on the throne, but I love the man who can.
If I can't stir this movement, I'll love the man who can. If I can't preach on the general conference floor that'll shake other preachers, I'll love the man who can. If I can't have the biggest church, I'll love the man who can. If I can't sit on the throne, I'm going to love the baby that God put up there. You want to talk about the Apostle Paul for a few moments? I mean, let me talk about Paul for a few moments. Brother, it was a long way from Tarsus to the Sanhedrin. He was baptized by Ananias.
You realize that wasn't an apostle as far as I know? Ananias, he was baptized. You see, the truth is, really, it doesn't matter who does it. It doesn't matter who does it. It doesn't matter who sits on the throne. Oh, God, just have your way in the church. Oh, God, just move in the church. Oh, God, just use us as your members. Oh, God, just use the body of Christ. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth. I'm telling you, God can raise up a fellow with one eye, half sense, a third grade education, and use him if he wants to. He's not locked into our high school graduate. He's not locked into our college degree graduate. He'll move in whatever heart that will respond unto the Lord and the Spirit of all. Thank you, God. God bypasses our theocracies. I want you to know he blesses whom he desires. Paul was shipwrecked. He was perilled, land, sea. He was beaten. He was robbed. He was left for dead. But he said, I'm going for Jerusalem. They said, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be killed. He said, I'm going for Jerusalem, and nothing's going to stop me. I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to sit down. Spent the last years of his life, 8 of them. You know where? In the Mamertine prison in Rome. Lived in a cell with a hole in the middle. That's where they got down on their hands and knees. And they took the palms of their hands and they scooped the human dung off of the floors. And they pushed it into that big hole. Too big for a man to leap across. Two men big for a man to get across and escape. One window 20 feet high in the side of that old stone wall. He spent 8 years eating his food, just eating old gruel out of a bowl that was hewn steadfastly upon the surface of the floor. He got down upon his hands and knees and he lapped the water out of that little bowl like a dog laps water. Who a beggar? Who a bum? Who an alcoholic? Who a dope addict? No, the great Apostle Paul. They not only scooped their human dung from the floor of those cells, pushed it into that big hole, but every now and then, just to keep them in line, just to keep them chastised and disciplined, they took those men and they threw them into that pit, and they buried up to their armpits in human dung and human excretion. And there they were left for hours and hours and hours to discipline them and make them remember, you are a prisoner of love. Eight years in the disease, with the wreck, with the smell. I'm telling you, the man that preached all over the world, the man that preached all over the then known world, and he sat down to write a letter back home, and he said, if anybody is coming my way, if anybody is passing my way, if you got an extra coat, if you got an extra cloak, if you've got an extra garment, bring it to me and let me wrap it around my shoulders. I'm cold. I don't have enough clothes. Somebody bring me a cloak. Bring me a coat. I'm cold. He said, I won't sit down. I won't sit down. I'm going to stand until the key comes. Why don't you complain, Paul? Come on, boy. You're with the stench and the smell and the disease in your go. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept it. I've ran my race with patience. Henceforth there is laid up from me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but to every man of God, every woman of God, every boy of God, every girl of God, that will love and look and long for his glorious appearing. They came with the guillotine. Paul, why don't you recant? Why don't you go back to your retrospect? Why don't you take your words back? They're going to cut your head off today. And I'm going to be standing up when they come. I'm going to be praising God when they come. I'm going to be preaching to another sinner when they come. I'm going to be loving another soul when they come. I'm going to be worshiping God when they come. Brother, they fed the church to the lions. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to close. I got 20% more sermon to preach. Oh, God, I've got to quit. God. Oh, God. Balaam saw Israel coming. Friends, they tell me that they beat out a path 1 mile wide and 6 inches deep. When Israel came and went, they beat a path 1 mile wide and 6 inches deep. There were so many of them, and they marched, that ragged, beaten, poor bunch of people. Balaam had money in mind when he saw them coming. They're not going to cross my land until they give me some money. But I'm telling you, friend, when Balaam saw that ragged, beaten, poor bunch of God-loving people, Balaam said, who can count the dust of Egypt? And who can number a fourth part of Egypt, or of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like theirs. I want to die like an Israelite. I want to die like a Hebrew. I want to die like a child of God. Forget the money, forget the past, forget the death. I want to die like a child of God. Moses said, I would rather suffer the afflictions of the righteous than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm closing tonight by telling you there is a sitting down spirit in us. We have resigned ourselves to perpetual laziness. You need to get up, saint. You need to get up, singer. You need to get up, musician. You need to get up, bus worker. You need to get up, visitation worker. You need to get up, preacher. You need to get up, preacher's wife. You need to get up, prayer warrior. You need to get up, child of God. You need to say, I'm not going to sit down, but I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to stand up until the King comes. They fed that bunch of saints to the lions. They lighted the way from the arena to Nero's palace. They took a rope, and they put that rope from their neck all the way down their back to their tailbone. They took wax and they melted it, and they poured that hot wax over that rope. On their shoulder blades, down their backbone, and upon their hips and legs. It burned the human flesh, it charred their skin, and the stench met the nostrils with pathetic apathy. That rope stuck up on the top of their heads like a wicker in a lamp. And then they took and lighted the end of that rope, and they made human torches out of those saints of God. And they lighted the way from the arena all the way to Nero's palace. And palace and Nero laughed at every child of God that he walked by. And he smelled the stench of the backbone. And he smelled their skin fine. And he smelled their muscles burning in two. Laughed and he laughed. Oh, Brother Corin, I guess that stamped out the church, didn't it? I guess that stamped out Christianity. Oh, friend, I want you to know the church grew like it has never grown before in a sense.
I want you to know the church grew like it has never grown before in a tent. Somebody said, oh, but if they would have just had faith, that wouldn't have happened.
You're out of your mind. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, they refused deliverance.
They could have been delivered. They could have been set free.
Brother Clayton, I'm telling you, brother. Oh, I'm telling you, they began to push one another back. They
get to
the door to be the next one
that
they
take
out and expect of the lives. They began to push men and women back. I
want to
be the next one that put in a
barrel
of hot oil.
They began to push men and women back. I want to be the next soul that lighted up like a human torch. You know why? They wanted to die for him. They wanted to die for him. The greatest testimony in the world was the child of God that would die for their master.
Would you stand with me tonight? Genghis Khan stood at the river. They shouted across the river, and they said, we will conquer you, Genghis Khan. He said, you will never conquer us. Why do you think you will conquer us? They said, we are 100 times stronger than you. He said, you will never conquer us. They said, we have 100,000 more horses than you. He said, you will never conquer us. The enemy shouted back, why won't we conquer you? He turned to his officer on his right, and he said, get down. The officer stepped up on that horse. Genghis Khan said, pull out your sword. Pulls out his sword. Genghis Khan set fire on it. That soldier took that sword and he put it to his belly and he plunged forward. That sword ripped through his guts and out his backbone, and a spurt of human blood as big as your finger gets out. That soldier lay there writhing in the blood that was spilling into the sand. And Genghis Khan turned back to an enemy that was fleeing from the other side of the river. And he said, you will not conquer us, for we are not afraid to die. I'm telling you, church, he's coming again. I'm telling you, saints, he's coming again. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to sit there. I am going to die fighting. I have made up my mind. I'm going to die fighting. Brother Marshall, I've made up my mind. I'm going to die fighting. Hallelujah. 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 Saints, I've made up my mind. I'm going to die fighting. I'm going to stand until the King comes. Now you can be happy with where you're standing. You can be happy with what you have. You can be happy with what you don't have. But you're looking at one little hunk of preacher, frail in body, weak and tired in mind and body tonight. But I'm telling you, I want to stand till the King comes. Would you lift your hands and would you love Jesus Christ with me tonight? Would you love him tonight? Would you love him tonight?
don't have any axes to grind tonight. And I don't have any bones to pick. My ministry is not, it's not personal between me and thee. But oh God, I'm so hungry to see God move in our hearts. I'm so hungry to see God move in this church. I'm so hungry to see God work. I don't care what you do with me. I don't care what you do with my name. But I'm asking you to take the message in the spirit with which I've tried to preach it tonight. And I'm asking you to take it home with you. Go to bed with it. Pray over it. And would you somewhere let God quicken your heart with His Word? Would you let Him somewhere, sometime, quicken His Word to your heart? Hallelujah. I feel like asking Brother Clayton to come and give this altar appeal. I don't know how long I've preached. I haven't watched my watch. I'm sure it's too long. But oh, God, I feel such a need. I feel such a need. Hallelujah. Do you want to be used of God? Do you want to be in the perfect center of His will? Do you want to be a wind, a tree against which the wind can blow? Do you want to be a pipe through which the water can flow? Do you want to be a vessel through which the Holy Ghost can move? As Brother Clayton comes, would you lift your hands and would you reach out to God? Let's love Him again. Oh, let's love Him all over this church. All over this tabernacle. We're going to stand up, Lord. We're going to stand up, Lord, until You come.